win at Newmarket last time out in Group 1 company. She took her record to 6 wins out of 6 starts over the 1600. And who's to say she's done improving yet? And this ground will certainly suit her as well. She really has excelled when the mud's been flying, as was indicated by that Newmarket success. Putting the blindfold on Escobar now. A horse who won at this meeting last season. David O'Mara trains Adam Kirby on board. He was on board when the horse won the Balmoral Handicap today's closing race 12 months back. Settle back and enjoy. This is the QE2 Stakes at Ascot on Champions Day. They're off.
Is just restrained leaving the stores. Out well, Circus Maximus on the far side leads early. Down the centre, Roseman in the yellow jacket. The Revenant is tracking Circus Maximus far side. Sentry Dream on the near side from Nazif and Dark Vision. Malatham in the black cap. They're followed further back by Voracious, with Palace Pier some way back in the early stages towards the far side along with Escobar. Sabuska's on the near side. Lord Glitters and Royal Dornock also towards the rear of the field. The pace not looking that strong. They're well grouped together, and it's Roseman from Circus Maximus, followed in third by Century Dream, the Revenant, last year's runner-up in fourth, followed on the near side by Nazif, and then Dark Vision and Malatham, Palace Pier shadowing Malatham, then Sabuska's on the near side, and they're followed by Voracious, Lord Glitters, Escobar, and Royal Dornock at the tail of the field. On their way now, passing the halfway stage in the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes, and Roseman continues to lead the way from Century Dream and Circus Maximus. Nazif is fourth, the Revenant. Palace Pier, the favourite, now moving up towards the far side into about sixth place in the Silver Silks on the left, followed then by Voracious and Escobar and Malatham, and on the right is still Nazif, followed then by Dark Vision and Lancaster House, Lord Glitters and Sabuska. Palace Pier now being asked to go on with the Revenant and trying to go with him. Roseman down on the centre field, still battling away. Palace Pier's going to have to dig in and get dirty here, because the Revenant and Roseman are not stopping, and the favourite's feet now inside the final 100 yards is the Revenant and Roseman. Sabuska running on down the stands rail. The Revenant from Roseman. The Revenant from Roseman. The Revenant has gone one better from last year. The Revenant wins for France from Roseman in second. They were well clear of Palace Pier. Lord Glitters running on with Voracious and Sabuska down the stands rail.
What a race. Not too many got involved. It's the French who take home the QE2 Stakes prize. The Revenant, last year's runner-up, goes one better and sees off Roseman. Third place. I think the favourites probably just scrambled home for third. Palace.
Welcome to Racing Across America, or Racing Across the Globe on these kind of mornings, as we're watching the QE2 from British Champions Day at Ascot. 9-7 and 12, I have it. 12, Palace Pier came in undefeated, and when the running started, just didn't have enough to get to the two horses he was kind of chasing, and it wound up 9-7 and 12 with the Revenant, who wound up the second choice at 6-1. Circus Maximus was the third choice at 7-1, but at 6-1, the Revenant gets it done over number 7, Roseman, 32-1, and then the big favorite at 1-2, Palace Pier, runs third in there. So a little bit of an upset in the QE2. In about a half an hour or so, we'll get you to the Champion Stakes, which, as Brian Addo was talking about earlier, will feature the super talented Magical. So looking forward to that. But we'll get to our guests quickly, because we pre-taped them yesterday. And I know if we don't jump right in, we will potentially get jammed up with that Champion Stakes. So coming up a little bit later on, our friend Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. She's got a little segment at the end of the show to talk about an event they have coming up next week. And I always like to support those aftercare type organizations. So we'll alert you to not only there's kind of a big event coming up that is virtual and online, but there's actually a little local event as well to benefit the TRF. We'll talk about that with Kim towards the end of the program after the Champion Stakes. But to lead in to the Champion, talked yesterday, both of our interviews taped them yesterday, but we talked with Mike Curry from America's Best Racing. He writes a lot of articles there, and one of them previewed and reviewed some stakes. Well, the two articles between them previewed and reviewed stakes from last week and stakes coming up this afternoon and tomorrow. So I thought we'd jump in and get some thoughts from Mike on all of that. So up next, Mike Curry from America's Best Racing. Happy to be joined now by Mike Curry. You can see his work on the America's Best Racing website as the weekly three that are heating up, three that are cooling down, and I wanted to touch on that this week going into the Breeders' Cup because there were some nice performances last week, but also does some handicapping and some other work over on the America's Best Racing website. And so we'll touch on some of the stakes coming up today and tomorrow. And as they say, a little review of last week. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
I'm happy to have you on. Again, talk a little review, a little preview, and I thought we'd start out by looking at your column that is doing some stakes previews for the weekend, and I'll start out by asking you, because the opening of the column mentions the Stay Lucky app that America's Best Racing has put out, which offers people kind of a fun way to become engaged with some of the stakes action, and talk a little bit about it for folks who maybe aren't familiar with Stay Lucky. What's it all about?
Yeah, so Stay Lucky is a free app, and essentially all that we ask you to do is to pick winners from graded stakes. And it's graded stakes with seven or more starters, and we give away good prizes. If you get the seven wins, you win a month of Stats Race Lens or prize for an NHC Tour membership. We have an RTN package later on for winners at nine wins. Cam hats, a lot of really good prizes. $1 million is the grand prize, and obviously free to play. So we've given away a lot of free merchandise this year, and feel pretty good about that.
How many how many do you have to string together for $1 million?
20.
There you go. That's why it's $1 million. Very good.
Yeah, well, we have to make sure the insurance is doable, right, for a grand prize like that. So, yeah, it's a challenge for sure.
And again, free app, and you can read more about it on the America's Best Racing website. Link to the info you need on Mike's article this week, looking at the stakes action. And let's get people started. If they do download the app or not, or if they're just playing, let's give some ideas on some of the stakes action that is coming up over the next few days. And we'll start with some Saturday stakes. Saturday afternoon down at Keeneland, the Raven Run. I pulled up a replay going back to July 10th at Keeneland, the Beaumont. This is going to be four graces. Four graces subsequently went over to Churchill and finished second in the Four Bells. But I wanted to show this. A, it was a win. It was the last time she was at Keeneland. She's been working well at Churchill subsequently. Venetian Harbor obviously is going to take a lot of action. Finished second behind Gamine, the incredible performance in the test from Gamine. So we saw Venetian Harbor up here at Saratoga. Reagan's Edge is really interesting to me. Comes out of a second behind Frank's Raquette in the last two starts. And Grand Cru Classe for Bill Mott as well, if I pronounced that correctly. Three for three so far. Fun field in the Raven Run. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. You know, when I first looked at it, I kind of thought Venetian Harbor and Four Graces. And then as I looked deeper, it actually is a pretty fun race. And there's a couple of pretty interesting horses at prices. I think my plan would be to play against Venetian Harbor. I prefer Four Graces of the favorites. She's four for five at the distance. And as you mentioned, she has that grade three win at Keeneland at seven furlongs in July. I also liked a little bit long shot 15-1 Fair Maiden. I liked her debut on dirt quite a bit, coming off the long layoff, final eighth of a mile in about 12 seconds after stalking a pretty good pace. She's kept good company and always held her own on grass as a two-year-old. But I think mostly what I like is the 15-1 morning line odds.
Yeah, and I would think in this field it'll hold up, or you'll get good odds on that one. And the form may be a little darkened because, as you say, it seems like maybe the seasonal debut and the comeback effort on the dirt is just touting her as maybe being one that was waiting to get on this surface.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, you know, 15-1, it's worth taking a shot on, and maybe from my perspective, maybe pair her with Four Graces and hope for a nice exacta.
Yeah, interesting. That's the Raven Run Saturday at Keeneland. A little bit later on Saturday, going out to the West Coast, the Autumn Miss, three-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass. In this one, I pulled up a replay where Warren Showtime is going to run third in here. It's the Del Mar Oaks from August 22nd. Red Lark, the number seven, will win. Number two, California Kook, runs second. And Warren Showtime, the number four, runs third. But again, this is over at Del Mar. The interesting fact here is Warren Showtime gets back to Santa Anita, where she's 3-for-4 over this surface. So maybe a little horse for a course angle for Warren Showtime.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Del Mar and Santa Anita turf courses play much different. So that's one of the angles whenever I handicap grass races out in California is I think that there's definitely some horses just race better at Santa Anita than they do on the turf at Del Mar. I agree with Warren Showtime. I think it's probably the fastest on paper. And I think she probably should get a pretty nice stalking trip behind the pace setter, probably pace setter, Quiet Secretary. And then, you know, I'm always looking for a price. With Stay Lucky, you're just looking to pick winners. But obviously with handicapping, you want to get a little bit of value. And I did like Mind Out a little bit at 8-to-1, stretching out from a sprint. She finishes pretty well, and she's run well at Santa Anita before as well.
Yeah, and had the mile, two starts back at Del Mar, was a good close-up second-place finish. So the distance shouldn't be a problem there, as you say, coming out of that sprint last time. All right, let's shift attention to Sunday because it's one of the nicer cards of the year annually up at Woodbine. And we'll take a look at three of the graded stakes on Sunday at Woodbine, starting out with the Northern Dancer. Grade one event, 4 3-year-olds and up, going 1.5 miles on the grass. Sir Sahib from Kevin Attard, maybe a little bit interesting. Nakamura comes up for Graham Motion, ran fourth in the Singspiel back in the middle of September on a trip up to Woodbine. Admiralty Pier is an interesting runner with a little bit of early speed as well. Coming off a win in the Singspiel, it's count again for Gail Cox, who seems to have the big days, always have one or two that are very good over the last year or so up there at Woodbine. What are your thoughts on the Northern Dancer?
Well, I really liked Count Again's win in the Singspiel. And when I first looked at this, I actually wrote this preview for the website for America's Best Race. I figured Count Again would be a heavier favorite. And then when I saw the morning line this morning, my pick, Nakamura, was only 3-to-1. I kind of thought I was going to get at least double it. But I did. So with the races at Woodbine, the graded stakes at Woodbine on Saturday, I kind of went with a Maryland triple. So I've got Motion, Dickinson, and Motion. And in this one, I went with Nakamura. I think he should improve stretching out to 1.5 miles. I think he's finished in the top three and all 5 stars at this distance. Good rallying third in the Elkhorn Stakes at 1.5 miles in July. And I do think he could probably benefit a little bit from a little rain in the forecast. I think he likes a little bit of giving the ground. What did you think?
Well, I like Nakamura, but Admiralty Pier with the early speed, and you know, there are a couple others in here that maybe show it, but I think that one is the definite speed. And so Admiralty Pier to me, you know, in the 1.5 miles, I say it a lot of times, folks who have been around the game long enough know, but for folks who are new, it's kind of counterintuitive. But speed is more dangerous at the longer trip because normally they get out there and just lope along early, and then it becomes a sprint late, and they've already got the advantage. They're in front. And so, again, it's maybe a little counterintuitive, but at the 1.5 miles, that speed may be dangerous on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I thought Admiral Luther was just, I mean, the only real speed in the race and probably left alone in front. Maybe, as you said, just kind of coasts along and then challenges them to come and get them. I did like the other, the stable, Count Again stablemate, Say the Word a little bit underneath. He's created a lot of his own trouble in races. Two pretty nice races back to back, winning the Saratoga allowance race closing for third in the Singspiel. So he offers a little bit of value too.
Well, like I say, Gail Cox, you have to watch her on these big days, it seems like, over the past year or so, going back to last year in the Woodbine Mile. And speaking of that, we move on to the E.P. Taylor, and I pulled up a replay of the Canadian because Gail Cox had the upset in there with Ride for the Cause. The Canadian was back on September 12th. And Ride for the Cause is going to be the number 4 horse here at 22-to-1 for trainer Gail Cox. Cambier Park for Chad Brown, the 4-to-5 favorite, winds up second. So it's a nice win for Ride for the Cause. But at 12 for Chad Brown comes up for Chad and Peter Brandt. Theodora B off a couple of wins most recently, including one of them down there at Kentucky Downs for just under $500,000 purse. Interesting as well. Your thoughts on the E.P. Taylor?
Yeah, well, similar to what you were talking about in the Northern Dancer, I think Theodora B looks like the controlling speed in here and could be dangerous. She's super consistent on the grass. You know, Michael Dickinson's pretty conservative. So when he sends them and she's won two straight here, I think she's definitely going to be tough to beat. I think the other thing that I hate to say this because he's a terrific trainer, but I kind of play against Chad Brown at Woodbine. You know, I think looking at the stats, I think he's 3-for-21 at Woodbine since 2018, and he gets bet like he's walking him over from Belmont or Saratoga. So I just usually try and play against him in these spots. It's kind of rare that I would do that, but you know, at Etoile, I think is how you pronounce it, I think I would play against her, and I really like Theodora B. If I was looking for a price, Elizabeth Way is a nice Judmont filly at 10-1 on the morning line for Roger Atfield, who's a heck of a trainer too. And I think she'll probably be a little closer to the pace than she was in her last start. But I'd pick on top Theodora B. How about you?
As I say, I think Ride for the Cause for Gail Cox coming out of Canadian is interesting, but I agree with you with the early speed, Theodora B. And I'm a sucker for the Augustan horses. It used to be Jonathan Shepherd and Augustan up at Saratoga at least once a year would pop with a price. This one won't be a price, but I'm still like the Augustan horses. So maybe a little Ride for the Cause, Theodora B. Exacta for me in the E.P. Taylor. Let's move on to the ninth race, which is the Nearctic, a grade two event, 6 furlongs on the grass. Kanthaka for our friends at West Point Thoroughbred shows up off a try in a turf sprint at Kentucky Downs for Graham Motion. Lady Grace for Mark Cassie is interesting. Hasn't been seen since the middle of July, so a little bit of a layoff. Silent Poet seems to be in some good form right now. This is a fun race. There are a couple of Cassies in here. Brad Cox is bringing up a runner. There's actually three Cassie horses in here with Olympic Runner on the outside being a player as well. You can go a few different directions in here. What did you think in the Arctic?
Yeah, I went with Kanthaka. He has yet to win on turf, but I think he was also a little unlucky not to be a grade one winner when he came up just a neck short in the Jaipur. I actually think he might be a little bit better value than what I think it was 3-1 on the morning line. I'd be hoping to get about 4-1. But I do agree it's a fun race. I think you could go in a number of different directions. Van Brugh, 12-1 is interesting. I think he's probably better than he showed in his last. And that second place finished Ivar Churchill looks a little better now. Reconfigure at 20-1 was kind of appealing too. He's a pretty consistent sprinter in Canada. He always shows up. He ran second on yielding turf in this race last year, and I think maybe get similar conditions this year. Just the forecast I looked at says looks like rain on Sunday, so maybe he gets some yielding turf. How about you?
Olympic Runner kind of jumped out to me a little bit, and Silent Poet, and I like Kanthaka too. I thought the race two back in the Jaipur. The Jaipur to me is one of those races that the horses that come out you have to watch at Saratoga. This one didn't show up there, instead laid off and came back at Kentucky Downs. But again, that Jaipur to me is always a race that tends to produce some nice horses going forward. So I wouldn't argue with Kanthaka either. But as I say, I'll toss a little Silent Poet and a little Olympic Runner in the mix as well. Speaking of West Point Thoroughbreds with Kanthaka, wanted to get one more opinion from the weekend, the Hill Prince on Sunday at Belmont, just because I saw you noted that in your column, you kind of tilting towards Decorated Invader, the West Point, nice three-year-old turfer. I love that subdivision of three-year-olds on the turf, and this horse, an absolute player at the top level of that division, won the Hall of Fame two starts back at Saratoga, and then ran fifth in the Saratoga Derby. But, I mean, it was a close-up fifth. It was less than a length. That was a blanket finish for folks who were there or were watching. Remember that one. Has been off since that August 15th start, but now comes back shorter distance, the mile on the turf, Decorated Invader. And I saw, as I say, you like that one as well.
Yeah, he's my top Stay Lucky pick of the week. I think he's going to be extraordinarily tough to beat here. Faded just a bit late, as you mentioned, in the Saratoga Derby, but definitely did not disgrace himself in any way. And I think cutting back here to the mile is perfect for him. I fully expect him to get back on track here.
Yeah, I like him. Chocolate Bar from Mike Makers. And just because, man, Mike Maker, the last, month and a half, 2 months, really going back to Saratoga, so about 3 months, he has just been on a roll wherever he goes.
Yeah, he's been terrific. If you're not betting him at Keeneland, you're losing money.
Exactly. He and Gaffleon make a potent team down there. All right, so that's your kind of preview column, but I also wanted to go back because you do a fun column every week that kind of takes a look at the stakes action from the week before, Road to the Breeders' Cup, three heating up, three cooling down, and I wanted some opinions on some of that action last week because there were some really nice performances, and we are right around the corner for the Breeders' Cup. First up, the Champagne in your three heating up category. You had Jackie's Warrior, and man, heating up. You got to wear the asbestos gloves for Jackie's Warrior. We will watch the stretch run here in the Champagne. There were a few strides where I thought, reinvestment risk, may make a race out of this. And then Jackie's Warrior just says, nope, no race, I'm going. Jackie's Warrior, the number four horse here, reinvestment risk, the number five. Jackie's Warrior now 3-for-3. You know, we saw this one up at Saratoga and certainly impressed in the hopeful and just continued that. Now goes into the Breeders' Cup. You know, the two-year-old winner a couple of weeks ago at Keeneland certainly has some valid talent. They're kind of searching, I think, a little bit on the West Coast. All of that adds up to, I think Jackie's Warrior goes to the Breeders' Cup as the favorite.
I agree, and I think he's going to be really tough to beat, too. The same thing that you were doing, just looking through the division and seeing if I could find anybody that might be a real challenge to him. I mean, stretching out the two turns is obviously a question, but on paper, he just clearly looks like the fastest. I did like sitting on go. You know, he won the Iroquois at Churchill. But I just, at this point, I think you have to look at Jackie's Warrior as a pretty clear standout in this division and a deserving favorite as well.
Yeah, he 4-for-4, and they've all been kind of dominant performances, and that kind of put the exclamation point on it. Also, on the two-year-old side of things, two-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th in the Jessamine last week at Keeneland, and hitting your three heating up category was Aunt Pearl for Brad Cox. Another pretty nice performance. Aunt Pearl here is going to be the number 7 horse. Spanish Love Affair, the number 10, runs second. And number 5, Ingracia, runs third. But at 3-2, it is Aunt Pearl getting it done under Flojo, Florent Giroux. Again, in a nice kind of battle down the stretch, but pulls away late. The chart margin is 2.5. So you have to think this one, interesting, you know, where they show up in the Breeders' Cup. It'll be the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, but they'll have to wind up against the boys. But I think you wind up against the boys, you're okay.
Yeah, so I think just looking at the juvenile fillies turf in the past, there's only been two European winners in I think the 12 or 13 years that they've had it. And the way speed has been playing on the grass at Keeneland, Aunt Pearl having a win on the turf course there, I think is extraordinarily beneficial to her. And I also, as I mentioned in the column, when I'm handicapping turf races, I like to look at how fast they finish. And to me, the handicapping turf races is a lot just about race shape. We talked about that earlier with some of the Woodbine races and then how fast these horses finish. And the way she went to it, the opening quarter mile in 22 and 2, and then came home in 6 and 1. I was incredibly impressed with her. You know, I don't think there will be anybody else out there with her. And a lot of times I don't think the two-year-old European fillies maybe are used to that much pace in the races. We see Wesley Ward go over to Royal Ascot and run them off their feet. And I think there's a chance that happens here at Keeneland with Aunt Pearl and the juvenile fillies turf.
Yeah, she certainly looked good down there. And as you say, a bonus to come back over the same turf course. So you also in the three heating up put Civil Union in there, the Flower Bowl victory. There were your three heating up, but I wanted to touch on a couple you had. It's kind of, it's three heating up, three cooling down, so you can only have three in those top three, obviously, but some honorable mentions, so to speak, and I wanted to touch on a couple of those because they were very impressive. One of them, Happy Saver in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Poor Tacitus. I mean, he hits the three cooling down side of things, just kind of snake bit, but the 2 3-year-olds look pretty good. Happy Saver and Mystic Guide. Happy Saver, and I heard some comments, and I think it's probably true. I would think he is the only undefeated winner of the Jockey Club Gold Cup, now 4-for-4 in the career, and really kind of a nice little three-year-old for Todd Pletcher, and it's going to be interesting to see what the remainder of the year and the career holds for Happy Saver.
Yeah, you know, I'd say that the reason why he didn't make it into my top three was because it sounded like they were leaning toward probably not running in the Classic. I'm not sure if that's changed since then. But I definitely think he has the talent. And, you know, there's really no standout this year, I don't think, in the Classic division. I mean, I do respect Improbable. I really like Tom's Detail. But I think Happy Saver would be a serious player in the race if they decided to go. And the speed figures, too. I mean, they came back strong enough where you think, you know, with just a slight step forward as a three-year-old, he'd definitely be competitive.
Let me ask you this. I was thinking about this the other day. What if he ran in the Classic and won the Classic? Would he wind up with a three-year-old title? Could he take it away from Authentic and Tis the Law?
I think you can make a pretty compelling argument. Jockey Club Gold Cup and Breeders' Cup Classic.
And two undefeated. Grade
one horses. Yeah, and unbeaten. I think you can make a pretty compelling argument. You know, a lot of times I think in the Eclipse Award votes at the end of the year, those Classic victories loom large, but the two victories against older horses, a lot of the more grizzled handicappers value that a little more highly, I think, probably me among them.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And maybe I wonder if that's factoring into their thinking at all, or will factor into their thinking. I'm sure they're going to look at the horse and see how the horse came out and whatnot. But wanted to touch on one more, and this is one that maybe for folks, certainly folks plugged into the game, didn't miss this, but Weekend Warriors may not have picked up on, you know, just an allowance N2L at Keeneland last week. It was the second start from Nashville. We got to see the debut for this one up at Saratoga, which was phenomenal. But it's a debut for a three-year-old. What was he facing that day? Those kind of questions could be asked. Well, Nashville validates that debut up at Saratoga with the start at Keeneland last week. He's just phenomenal and continues kind of the assembly line of sprinters out of the Steve Asmussen barn.
Yeah, there's a little Mottoli to him, isn't there? I mean, you know, he's to me like a serious racehorse, and the speed figure certainly backed up. You know, 101 buyer speed figure for a second race. If I was Steve Asmussen, I think I would think long and hard about the sprint for sure. Not sure if that you're surely throwing him into the deep end in his third start, but he's plenty fast. So have you heard? Have they made a decision on that?
I have not heard, but I mean, they also have the nice three-year-old Yaupon, who's a good sprinter as well. So as I say, kind of loaded with sprinters over the past few years. And I haven't heard a decision, but I heard that they are at least considering. But to have a horse like this who, you know, had a couple of open lengths wins like that in the first two starts of the career. And as I said, it was certainly, you would have to consider, a belated debut. You show up as a three-year-old for the first start of your career, Saratoga on the 2nd of September as a three-year-old. And now you put another win like that together. It would be a step up, but clearly from what we've seen so far, there's a lot of talent here.
Yeah, he looked terrific. Definitely one that if you want to keep tabs on him, pop him in your virtual stable. But my hunch is that moving forward, you won't have to worry about that. I think he'll probably be in the big races, and we'll see a lot of them.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it stakes one way or the other. Stakes are immediately in his future at this point. Mike, appreciate the thoughts. As I say, a little preview, a little review. Again, I'll remind people they can go to America's Best Racing, the website, and follow your columns regularly. Pick up the two that I referred to for a little more info if you want. Also, more info on that Stay Lucky app if folks would like to play along and maybe string 20 together. I may have to try.
Yeah, win some free prizes.
That's what it's all about. That makes it fun as well. Mike, again, appreciate the visit, and we'll talk again.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Very good. Mike Curry, America's Best Racing, again, with a little preview and review. Some nice stakes action coming up at Keeneland, coming up at Woodbine, Sunday, that Hill Prince at Belmont. Lots of great stakes action ahead.
BetRivers, the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America / the Globe on this Saturday morning. We have to say that because we are dipping in and taking a look at the nice group ones on British Champions Day at Ascot. And we have another one. They're showing about a minute away from the Champion Stakes itself. Group one event, and Brian Addo was touting Magical a little bit earlier. Magical, the number eight horse, currently the 7-5 favorite, won this race last year over males. 2 years ago, you may remember, as a three-year-old, Magical ran second to Enable in the Breeders' Cup turf on our side of the pond, as it were. Magical, a nice season so far this year. Three wins in four starts, and again, goes off this afternoon as the favorite, this afternoon over in England, as the favorite. Second choice, Magical 7-5. The clear second choice at 3-1 is Mishriff, from the talented John Gosden, Frankie Dettori on board. Magical, of course, Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. But Mishriff, Gosden, and Dettori also 3-4 so far this year. Mishriff is the 9 horse, so the 8 taking the action, Magical. But a close-up second, or a clear second choice, let me put it that way, the number 9, Mishriff. Also taking a little bit of action. Let me just scroll through my odds here. The 3, Extra Elusive at 8-1. And the 5, Lord North at 6-1. Scaletti, the number 7 at 8-1. Those are the other three horses that are below double-digit odds right now. So, again, all eyes on Magical, however. Really, just a talented 5-year-old race mare. 12 wins in 25 career starts. And, again, she is the defending champion of this event coming up next at Ascot, the Champion Stakes on British Champions Day. We'll send it there. We will come back after the race for more of Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Stay tuned.
North running this. We saw a big French winner in the previous race, didn't we? Well, Jerome Rainier is looking to provide the French with another big one here with Scaletti. Bit of an unknown 5-year-old over here in the UK, but has certainly come to prominence in his last two runs because he won at Deauville 2 runs ago, beating Sotsass. Of course, that one going on to land the big prize at Longchamp a couple of weeks ago in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. So that form gave it a very timely boost a couple of weeks back. And he put himself spot on for this or that defeat of Patrick Sarsfield in the Prix Dollar last time out at Longchamp over this distance. So Scaletti running in this race, which is open to geldings, hence why they've come for this, the trainer was saying as well. Mishriff goes in the maroon. For John Gosden, the Prince Faisal Silks, Frankie's up. There's Japan, Colin Keane in the grey and white check. Lord North about to take his position in the gates. This is the Kipco Champion Stakes of 2020. Let's enjoy with Simon Holt.
Racing in the Kipco Champion Stakes, Day have ridden forward on the outside of Mishriff in the early stages. Magical seeking a good position as well. Serpentine is also pushed forward, so the pace looking fairly honest into the bottom bend, and Serpentine leads the way to a Dayeb. Then Mishriff in the maroon jacket, Magical in fourth place, the Grey Scaletti towards the inside, followed by Extra Elusive and Japan. Lord North is a little wider just ahead of Japan, and then Pile Driver and Desert Encounter at the back of the field. So swinging round Swinley Bottom, Serpentine out in front as he was at Epsom back in June, where he blazed the trail across Epsom Downs to win the Derby. He leads the way here at Ascot by three quarters of a length to Adayeb. Scaletti is third on the inside of Mishriff. Then Magical, last year's winner in fifth place from Lord North, and they're followed by Japan on the inside. Maybe the pace has slackened a little bit back in the field. Pile Driver, Extra Elusive and Desert Encounter inside the final three quarters of a mile. Serpentine leads the way in the hands of William Buick, shadowed all the way by Adayeb and Tom Marquand, and they are tracked by Mishriff, with Scaletti towards the inside, Pierre-Charles Boudot, then Magical and Ryan Moore, and Lord North and James Doyle. Further back is Japan and Pile Driver, and Extra Elusive and Desert Encounter, as now they race past the four furlong marker. Serpentine pressing on again from Adayeb in second. Back in third, Scaletti on the inside, Mishriff, Magical locked away on the inside there. Lord North is moving up. They're followed by Japan, Pile Driver being asked a few questions from Extra Elusive and Desert Encounter into the home straight. And Serpentine leads the way. There's a big gap for the grey Scaletti. Adayeb is challenging, so too Mishriff. Magical now finding a way through, or trying to find a way through, as Adayeb strikes the front from Scaletti. Then Serpentine, Magical, Mishriff is back behind these. And it's Adayeb that leads the way, approaching the final furlong. Adayeb pulls two lengths clear. Scaletti is trying to rally in second place. Magical now into the clear in third, but it's looking too late. And Adayeb, who floats across soft ground. Adayeb coming away to win the Champion Stakes in the hands of Tom Marquand. Scaletti second, Magical back in third, and Serpentine was fourth.
Tom Marquand rides Adayeb to victory. The soft ground lover has peaked here in this Group 1. He's won Group 1s before, of course, in Australia under Tom Marquand earlier on this season. It's his domestic Group 1 here. Scaletti is finished in second. Magical was never nearer, really. I think that's fair to say, with back in fourth, Serpentine. They have jumped away at Catterick. They're off at Catterick for their race number four. Let's go and join them there.
Night. Torrentum Star trying to get on terms. Count Dorsey trying to improve.
Welcome back. I have it 178 there with Adayeb getting it done. Scaletti second, and Magical, who was kind of searching for room, and it looked like something opened up early and she just didn't accelerate, and then eventually got going, but by then it was a little bit too late. So I think we're 9-1 over 7-1 over 8-5 there in the Champion Stakes at Ascot. So again, hold your tickets there until that is all declared official, but again, a big day internationally. British Champions Day with a lot of Group 1 action that may play out. It's a little late, but typically you'll get some horses at least being considered from this going to the Breeders' Cup. So we'll see how that works out. All right, as promised a little bit earlier, we will head to a interview now. Again, did taped our interviews yesterday, but we talked to Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. They have a couple of events coming up, and I always like to support the you know, the aftercare, the retirement organizations who take care of our racehorses after their careers on the racetrack is over. The Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation does a great job of that. And as I say, they have a couple of events coming up that are worthy of noting. So up next from the TRF, Kim Weir. Joined this morning by our friend Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Of course, we have her on live up at Saratoga. I was out. Just had some footage on the show this summer as I petted some of the TRF horses that were in the area locally this summer, and I was out there with Kim, and always fun to have Kim on the show, and they have a big event coming up that we wanted to tout so people could plug in and enjoy as a virtual horse show will take place, and we'll let you know more about that. Kim, good morning.
Well, good morning, Seth, and it's nice to see you. And it is the first time we've done the True Blue Zoom in different locations thing. So here we are. Thank goodness for technology.
Well, sometimes thank goodness for technology.
When it works. But,
as I said, it was fun to have you on this summer. And this summer, we talked a little bit about the barbecue, which was held not virtually this summer. It was drive-through. Last year, of course, people could go up to the Saratoga Winery and sit down and enjoy barbecue and have some interaction with the horses. And that was true again this year, but it was a drive-through event. So everything's a little bit different this year. And we'll talk in a moment about the virtual horse show that's coming up. But before we do that, for folks who maybe haven't seen you on the show before, folks who are unfamiliar, just talk a little bit about the TRF in general and what the mission is.
Well, it's always such a pleasure to do that. And I thank you, Seth, the whole team at Capital OTB, to tell just the snapshot of who we are and what we do. The Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is the oldest and the largest of the thoroughbred aftercare organizations in the United States. We were founded back in the early 80s, and we have a specific role to take care of retired racehorses who can no longer compete and save them from neglect, abuse, and slaughter, like the worst things. It's a pretty sober mission. So we are a rescue for these animals to make it when they need a place to live, they will be with us and well taken care of. In the world of aftercare, we have a very specific role, which is that of sanctuary. So we will take the horses that, due to age, are unable to pursue a second athletic career. Because we all know these horses are athletes, they love to run, they love to go, and if at all possible, that's what we want when their racing career is over, is that they go on to their next active career. And many, many, many of, however, there are always going to be those that need another place, and that's where we come in. So we provide them with sanctuary, which means they're just going to be horses for the rest of their lives. They're going to live in fields. They're going to prove that they love to run by running around the fields all by themselves. but we will make sure they're safe and well cared for the remainder of their days, which means we keep them till they're in their late 20s and 30s. This is often a big takeaway for a lot of folks. But as you look at that picture that you're showing so kindly, the magic, I think, of what we've done for 36 years is we've taken these horses that can't be ridden and we've found the perfect job for them. Not only do they just get to be horses, but they do that in a way where they're teaching men and women who are in incarcerated situations vocational skills that give them second chances when they leave prison. So horses live in prisons, and that is called the TRF Second Chances Program. And we started in New York at the Wallkill Correctional Facility in little south of us, and have been doing that for going closer to 40 years now with horses in prisons changing lives. So that's just a little snapshot of who we are. We are currently a herd of over 500 horses. We are in 9 states and 15 farms, and 8 of the farms are prison farms. So there's your snapshot.
And as I say, I was out locally when you had some horses up here for the Saratoga season, which you've had the past few years, so folks could kind of visit and see for themselves, and I saw for myself, and they're very friendly, and man, they are not camera shy.
No, they love people. This is one of the things we talk about with thoroughbreds in particular, and has everything to do with their racing life, is that they are handled from before they're born. And I mean that, like, not to be graphic, but literally they are with humans from the moment their lives begin. So even when they're, you know, Boldman, who you visited, who is just about as friendly as a horse can get, he's 17 years old and he is 100% attuned to humans. He is always more interested in what you're doing than anything else. And so they loved you, Seth. That was a very fun day.
I brought my camera and the tripod, and every time I set it down, he'd put the nose right in there. He was attuned to the camera. I loved the camera. Very good. Nice personality. But let's talk a little bit about the horse show, because it's going to be a virtual event that is available globally, which means everybody in the area can watch and kind of get firsthand knowledge of what goes on. This is going to be based at the Blackburn, or around the Blackburn Correctional Facility down in Lexington, Kentucky. And I guess in previous years or last year, it was a live horse show, obviously. But this year, with the situation, maybe a wider audience doing it virtually. But talk a little bit about It's coming up on Tuesday, October 20th, the 2020 Blackburn Horse Show. Give us the overview.
Yeah, well, this is, you did a great job there, Seth. I'll just add some color, is that indeed it is taking place in Lincoln, Kentucky. And last year we celebrated the 20th anniversary of this program. So horses have lived in this prison in Lexington for a long, long time. And we had a great day. It actually looked much like that day that's on the screen right now. It's a beautiful November day. And we had about 150 people enter, said we opened the gates of Blackburn, but so that people could come in, not to open the gates of Blackburn so they could go out, because that would be very bad. but nonetheless, we brought everyone there and we had an amazing day. And what we did was we had, of course, the warden spoke, our program instructor spoke, Tim Moore. And the most important thing is we had the men and the horses, not just there to look at, although that alone is pretty interesting. They took the horses, each man took one of the horses through an agility course over obstacles, lined them up, faced the audience, and then each man was quizzed on a number of things that are within the curriculum they're learning in the TRF Second Chances program. Some of those things are anatomy, some of those things are the digestive system, all how to use wraps in different ways. So we did all this as a performance, as a show, so that we could get beyond the concept of, okay, horses live in prisons, that sounds good. But let's actually see what's happening there. And that is what we did last year. And it was very successful. It had some tremendous outcomes because people started, the wheels started turning. When you see it in action and you hear it and you feel it, it's inspiring. I can't say it any other way. And so we knew we wanted to do this again. It was so successful. And then the world went upside down. So much to your point, Seth, this year, while we've had to reinvent the whole thing, it is actually going to be so much bigger and therefore so much better. And it is super exciting because the entire world can join us. We are going to open those gates this time to the globe. We have folks planning to join us from Australia. We have folks planning to join us from Mexico, from Canada. The only folks who are a little inhibited are our European friends, because 8 p.m. here Eastern is just spring. Middle of the night if you're in Europe, but they can watch it the next day. So anyway, to get into what we're going to do, it's all the same pieces. We'll have the opportunity to hear from the warden, to hear from Tim Moore, our instructor, to hear from the men looking at you as I'm looking at you guys today, saying, this is my horse, here's how he is, here's how many races he ran. I'm going to tell you all about the bones in his leg, and then I'm going to take him through this agility course. And it's just a show. It is a show of what is happening, and it is a show of what is possible when we put these horses with people. Magical things happen. And so the fact that we get to show it, not just talk about it, you know, Seth, I love talking about it and I'll talk about it all day long. But the fact that we have a way on October 20th at 8 p.m., invite everybody into their most comfortable chair with their favorite beverage, to just sit down and watch this thing and to feel this thing, to do it together. It'll be fun to kind of feel like we're together, even if we're all in different places. And that's what it's gonna be. The show itself is about 30 minutes long, so you're not like committing for an entire day. If anyone out there has ever actually gone to real horse shows, I grew up doing real horse shows. And as much as they're fun for the person doing it, they're really long and kind of boring. This will not be boring, I promise. So anyway, it is very much a click a link and watch the show. Bottom line, Tuesday at 8 o'clock, click the link and watch the show. And I'll let you fill in what I missed, Seth.
Well, we have, I believe, a graphic with the TRF website address up there. It's TRF Inc., TRFINC.org. And if people go to the front page, there'll be a pop-up that will link to the Blackburn webpage specifically. Also, when I went and visited it, you could click on a link on that page that will send you a reminder on Tuesday. So if you think, hey, I want to watch this, and you're worried that Tuesday will come around, you may not remember, you can get an email message that will remind you Tuesday night at 8 to check in. Be live on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. And I know you have been talking about it for a couple of months to me, so I know you guys are all excited. And I think it'll just be fun for people to see what gets talked about a lot. We see the TRF promos, America's Day at the Races. They have been running some TRF things. And, you know, we see the guys out there working with the horses. And I think it's nice to kind of reiterate, it's great for the horses. It's a great spot for these horses to go after the races and be well taken care of. But it's equally great for the humans, because I think whenever I have people on talking about this kind of thing, there's always the conversation about how therapeutic it is, man for horse. But as you say, they get quizzed. They're just learning a new skill as well, which is beneficial.
Yeah, no, it really is. I dare say it's better for the people than the horses. The horses are happy, but they get to be perfectly happy, and you get better than perfectly happy. But the humans, they've got a long go towards optimal happiness when you're coming out of prison. And the fact that these horses give them a new lease on life. And I will tell you, I will certainly tease the Capital OTB audience that this isn't just going to be showing those men in Blackburn. We actually have the opportunity to show you a couple of the men who were in the horse show last year and are happily fully employed in horse jobs today.
Nice. Nice.
So it's like the kind of movie that I have seen, and it has a really great ending, and I'm not going to spoil it for you by telling you it's worth the watch, because it really, and then not to wax too poetic, but when you think about when you change one person's life, especially one of these individuals, and you just start thinking about their family, their parents, their kids, their neighbors, their coworkers, it's, this is what the horses can do. They're just magical.
That's great. Yeah. So again, it's Tuesday, October 20th, 8 p.m. Go to the website, trfinc.org, trfinc.org. Click on the little banner for the Blackburn Horse Show, and that'll take you to the page with all the specifics there. As I say, you can get a reminder. But also, don't forget, you can watch for free and enjoy it for free. But don't forget, it's always important to donate as well and help out the TRF overall. And I'm assuming the horse show itself will probably have little reminders come up as people are watching on how they can donate as well.
Yes, the real call, it's a really an idea is here to create greater awareness, and then for those who care, to just inspire action. And action comes in lots of ways. You always know how much I'm always calling for volunteers. But we will certainly make it easy that while you're watching, if you feel so moved, you can buy that bale of hay, buy a bag of grain, give what you feel, but also think about it. I'll tell you now, you may hear it again on Tuesday, that my greatest ask of everyone watching is that they then share it with someone else, because that's the magic, to get this thing out there. All the rest will come back to us if we just get the message out. So yes, you can definitely make it really easy. And we also just want it to be accessible and fun. And I definitely promise it will be uplifting. And I think in this day, we need as many uplifting things as we can find.
Very good. There is no question about that. And certainly on a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, there's probably a lot of people that are looking for a little something, a little infotainment, I will label it, and you can do it by watching the horse show coming up Tuesday, 8 o'clock. Again, go to the website for more information. If you think you need a reminder, you can get that as well. That event, virtual horse show, as we showed on the screen, global, but you and I were talking before, and you had mentioned this to me a few weeks ago as well. Got something local coming up. I mentioned the barbecue, which last couple of years has gone on during the Saratoga season, and this year was kind of a drive-through event, but you have a local event coming up this coming Sunday, well, a week from Sunday, Sunday the 25th, so a week away, 9 days away now, Sunday the 25th. Ponies, pumpkins, and pies, fill us in on that.
Well, first and foremost, I will let you know, those are three of my favorite things on earth, so we are putting them all together, and that tends to be true for all of us on the TRF team. And we learned a lot of things from our drive-through barbecue, which was lots of fun. We liked, and the key thing is that if you have ponies, which we have, and you have a bunch of cones, like the orange cones you see on the highway, you can have a party. That's what we did at the barbecue, and that's what we're doing on the 25th. So this one is being hosted at the Pitney Meadows Community Farm, but it's not just being hosted at the farm, it is being hosted with the farm. This is a collaborative opportunity for the two organizations. We're going in there partners, shoulder to shoulder. They're providing us with that beautiful farm in the city location. And we will split all proceeds 50-50. So everyone could know that if you do join us on October 25th and you buy any pumpkins or any pies, or stuffed ponies. I will let you know there are ponies for sale, but they are this big and they're stuffed. All the proceeds will go to both the TRF and to Pitney Meadows Community Farm. And at the end of the day, what we're doing is a simple version of the barbecue. We just want folks to come to have a, I call it, have fun in your car. So this isn't a, it is a drive-through, but we're not calling it a drive-through again. We're calling it fun, family fun in your car. So you show up at, we do ask folks to pre-register, just to make it much easier logistically if we know how many people are coming through it, and you choose your time slot between 12 and 3 p.m. on Sunday. You choose your time slot, pre-order how many pumpkins, how many pies, how many stuffed ponies. And then you arrive at the farm and you'll get to do the drive-through, much like we did at the barbecue, but you'll see different ponies. You'll see the miniature ponies who stole the show last time, and they will be back. Tinkerbell and Lily will be there waiting. They are not retired thoroughbreds, but they are really cute. There will be a bunch of retired thoroughbreds there that are actually with North Country riding with Amanda Vance. It's her dressage team. They're all a bunch of retired racehorses that are doing athletic careers. So you see lots and lots of horses. You'll see lots and lots of TRF volunteers smiling and waving. And at the end of the day, you'll drive home with some pumpkins and some pies and hopefully a great big smile and maybe some pictures of some smiling ponies. So we hope it will just be a lot of fun. That's why we're doing it.
I'm a pie guy. I may have to swing by for a pie. Ponies, pumpkins, and pies at Pitney Meadows Community Farm. That's 223 West Avenue in Saratoga. Again, a week from Sunday, the 25th. Kim, appreciate the info. Again, the Blackburn Horse Show coming up this Tuesday at 8 o'clock, and the ponies, pumpkins, and pies a week from Sunday, the 25th. As I say, Kim, appreciate the conversation. Say hello to your husband, Bob. For folks who don't know, Bob played in the NHC a couple of years ago, but on a regular basis, he's a buyer figure maker. So you've got both sides of the game in the house.
We do. We're right here. I made him promise to not walk behind me while we're chatting. Thank you, Seth. It's a pleasure to be here and great to see you.
Appreciate it. Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Again, thanks to Kim, and they do a great job at the TRF. I mentioned the website a couple of times. If you type into Google Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, it'll take you to the website as well, and then you can click on, as I say, the Blackburn show banner and find out how to donate and how to watch coming up on Tuesday, and find out more if you need to know it about ponies, pumpkins, and pies, which sounds like fun as well, a week from tomorrow. The horse show comes up on Tuesday. Ponies and pies a week from tomorrow locally here in Saratoga. Also, thanks a little bit earlier to Mike Curry from America's Best Racing, giving us a little kind of recap of some of the nice stakes action last week that may play into the Breeders' Cup, but also previewing some of the stakes action this week. We took a look at a couple of stakes from today, and then tomorrow, really nice stakes card up at Woodbine tomorrow as well. We kind of previewed some of those stakes with Mike, so appreciate that. Also plugged in a couple of those Ascot races. So, and I just see if they have the results to was 1-7-8 in that champion stake last time, with the winner paying $20.20, a little bit of an upset there in one of the big races over at Ascot on British Champions Day. I'm going to wrap things up for Racing Across America. Our pregame shows should kick off sooner rather than later at the various venues. And in fact, it looks like maybe they're going through the scratches and changes in New York right now in prep for their pregame show. So I will step back. They're off the turf down at Belmont today, other than the stakes race. So keep that in mind. I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon, taking a look at Keeneland and Belmont, among other action this afternoon. So looking forward to that. Oh, I want to thank everybody who showed up yesterday for the bankroll promotion. It was a lot of fun. This has happened a couple of times. Doing the bankrolls, it's a little bit of a different animal. You get, yesterday I had 300 to play with. It's been different amounts depending on the bankroll. But it's a four-hour event. And so you can't really swing, even if you have a big opinion early, you can't take a swing with $100 in the first 15 minutes, you know, the jockey falls off the horse, and now you've eaten up most of your bankroll, and you're there for another 3.5 hours. So you kind of have to pick your spots and play and be a little bit conservative and maybe take some shots a little bit later. Well, I have to admit, I was kind of treading water most of the day. I took the $300, had a little bit of a hit early, and then we had some near misses, but took a shot, as I mentioned earlier on the handicappers report, the late double at Keeneland. We took a $10 shot with some variations of the double, and one of those hit. We'd also put some win money on the horse that won the last race. So our 300 bankroll ballooned up on that action to 440, I think. And everybody on the bankroll team walked away with $27 worth of free money for coming in and putting their name on a slip and tossing it into the hat. So it was a fun afternoon, and everybody on the bankroll team was kind of cheering the horse in the last race because we all knew it was going to be a nice payoff. And that horse had a late run that just got up by about that much. So it was fun. It was dramatic. And everybody, as I say, walked away with a little free money. We appreciate everybody who came down to the clubhouse racebook for the bankroll promotion yesterday. Keep your ear to the ground because we'll obviously have more promotions coming up. A lot of promotions will be tied into the Breeders' Cup and beyond. So should be a lot of fun. But we appreciate the participation yesterday. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for this Saturday morning edition of Racing Across America. Don't forget, be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. Please stay tuned. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.